Money Radio, thanks for joining us. Pleasure to welcome Jeffrey James. Jeffrey James is the author of 9 books, The Zen of Programming, The Tao of Programming, Business Wisdom of the Electronic Elite, and he has a new book out, and I can't say the full title, but you'll get it, Business Without the Bull, Business Without the BS, okay? Jeffrey, thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
So you went for the shock value in the title.
Yeah, I guess so. It does have an asterisk in it, so it's not that big a swear, but it wasn't really, I don't think it's that shocking, because there certainly is a lot of BS in the workplace.
It's a word that we've all heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does kind of get a point across, doesn't it?
I think that it does. I think that... particularly recently, with the changes in the economy and the changes in the way that companies operate, it's created more BS and more difficulty for people navigating corporate environments. I think employees have less power than they did. I think that there's kind of an attitude that we have to be victims in the workplace, and I don't believe that's true. And so I came up with kind of the essence of the 49 things that you need to know to really survive in the corporate environment. And that was the basic idea for the book, and that's where it came from originally, was just, let's see if we can help people have a better work life.
The full title here, Business Without the Bull, 49 Secrets and Shortcuts You Need to Know. So, do we have enough slack in the marketplace? Is that the reason why we're putting up with so much BS in business these days? As workers in the marketplace, we just don't have much leverage?
Yes, and what happens when you don't have leverage is that you get the terms of your working dictated to you. And so part of the reason that this happens is because people still think in terms of job security of some kind, when in fact there's no such thing as job security. What there is, however, is career security, and that's putting yourself in the situation where you have options. So one of the things I recommend in the book is that you always have at least 3 opportunities in the hopper, other places you could work, other contracts you could get, other things that you could do in different stages of development, but you always have at least 3. That way, when it comes down to doing a salary negotiation or refusing to do something that's not appropriate for your job, you can say no to your boss or no to your company with the security of knowing that you don't need them more than they need you.
But let me explain a little bit about how the book is laid out. There are basically sections. I think it's 7 major sections or parts, and then there are secrets or chapters within, and it's 7 secrets per part or sector, so for a total of 49. So you can kind of jump around if you want to. The book, I believe, is written in that way. Am I correct?
Yes, it has. It really isn't a typical business book. Most business books are written by people who want to promote their sales training or their public speaking or their management consulting or something like that. And so they all pretty much look the same, and they all kind of have the same sort of, you know, a lot of case studies and anecdotes and kind of this is what best practice is. This book has nothing of that because I don't do any of those things. I just laid down step by step how you handle things like a boss who's bullying you. And some of them are even for bosses. I have a whole section there on bosses, mm-hmm. which explains very simply how to fire someone or how to find a top performer. I go through the different kinds of bosses you'll meet and how to cope with each type. I go through the different kinds of coworkers you'll meet and how to deal with each type. And it's all very quick. You can read it through from cover to cover, or you can jump around anywhere depending upon whatever you run into on a particular day or a particular week.
And even though you can jump around, start with the introduction, because I thought the introduction was outstanding, about 14, 15 pages, something like that. And this goes back to what you were saying, is have something, a backup plan or three backup plans. And you talk about the idea that everyone is really a freelancer in this kind of a labor market, and you have to be your own boss. I thought that was huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those are the two key points of being a freelancer, and everyone is a freelancer. You may have a work as an official employee and get full benefits and anything, but as far as the company you're working for is concerned, you can be fired anytime and replaced with somebody. So that means you're a freelancer. And there's two important things about being a freelancer. One, you're your own boss, which means that you have to manage your manager, you have to manage your coworkers. If you're in a management position yourself, you need to manage your employees, of course, that goes without saying. But you also have to manage yourself. And of those, the fourth is by far the most important, which is how do you treat your career, how do you treat yourself, how do you deal with your own emotions, how do you overcome fear, and things of that variety. So that's point one. You're your own boss, and you have to manage everyone else. The second point is that you have to learn how to sell, because one thing about freelancing is that you're always got to be selling. You always have to think about selling the value of you being where you are now and selling the value of where you could be elsewhere. And unfortunately, many talented people, for some reason, dislike selling and don't see that as something that's fun. And they, as a consequence, they don't get good at it. And a lot of the pain that happens in the business world is simply because people don't think of themselves as freelancers and they don't know how to sell their services.
In fact, though, everybody has to sell something. It doesn't mean that you're actually out on a sales floor or making sales calls necessarily. But you got to sell whatever it is you're doing. Somebody's got to buy it. That's the core of all business. Even if it's a nonprofit business, an idea, a concept, a service is being sold.
Yes, and if you think like an engineer, an engineer wants to build interesting stuff and have cool equipment. I mean, I used to be an engineer,
yeah,
so I know how they think. I know how they think. And that requires going to someone and saying, here's a great idea, let me do it, and give me the equipment to do it. And that's selling. So everyone, even the most technically oriented people, are, if they want to be successful, they must learn how to sell. The same thing's true, by the way, of artists, people who work in creative fields in business and outside of business. The successful ones are not only good at selling, they enjoy that part of it. And even when you look at great artists like Picasso and Salvador Dali, master showmen, master salesmen, and, of course, masters at their art. So there's really no conflict between being a creative person or being a technically oriented person or being an expert and also selling. And once you make that distinction and you understand that you're a freelancer, it changes your whole way that you look at work, and you're no longer under the thumb of circumstances or the company that you're in.
And you also talk about technology and the importance of personal relationships as opposed to just technology. Give us a little of your background on the technical side.
Well, I originally worked, my first job was working in an operating systems development group. And I was responsible for writing the system manuals and researching how they were actually putting together a brand new operating system. And then later on, I became interested in and started designing publishing systems, and I won some awards for that. And then I went into marketing, and these were in very large companies. I went into a marketing position and had a chance to meet a lot of very famous people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. At one point I said, well, what do I really want to do for a living? I really came a heart-to-heart discussion to myself, and I decided what I wanted to do was help people. And I wanted to do it through my writing. And I couldn't do that doing a corporate job. So I left the corporate job about 20 years ago and became a full-time writer. And ever since then, I've tried to work on kind of capturing the essence of what people need to be happy, stress-free, and successful in the business world.
And it really is kind of taking away some of the technology. Yeah, we have a lot of tools available to us, but we can't forget that personal connection that goes on.
Yes, that's true. And there's also some particular techniques that have to do with how you handle yourself in a corporate environment where email is a big, which is everywhere, where email is a big presence. Let me give you an example from the book. There are times when you get an alarming email, like the big boss emails you, so we got to talk. And the way you, if you react immediately to that and send back, okay, yeah, that's right, I'll be right there, you're going to come into the whatever situation you come into totally not knowing what's going on. You're probably going to be blindsided. You're probably not going to do that well. So whenever you get an alarming email of that sort, the correct response is to say, oh, certainly. I'm talking to a customer or doing something else. I'm happy. When would be a good time to talk, and what is going to be the subject matter so I can prepare adequately? 99 times out of 100, you'll get an email back saying what he wants to discuss. That gives you, or she, so that gives you the time to prepare yourself so that you can use that meeting for your purposes and advance your career and advance your agenda rather than having something come out of nowhere and kind of slam you in the head. So there's specific techniques. Not everybody knows these techniques, and so I put them in the book just step by step. You get the email, you send this stalling email, you consider this, and you walk into the meeting with this. Four steps. So that's the way the book is organized. So it's kind of like, what do you do when this happens? How do you deal with these kinds of people? What do you do if a boss asks you to do something that's unreasonable, like cater her party or something like that? All these things that happen in the corporate world for which there is no, as far as I know, no good advice out there on how you would deal with that. And this is what that book does. It gives you the ground rules for dealing with those real-world situations. No theory. No theory in this book at all. There's not the tiniest bit of theory. It's all practical.
But it really does happen all the time in business, doesn't it? I mean, we run across somebody asking us to do something related to business, like you say, catering something, working a weekend. And if you just say yes, I'm a team player. Yeah, I'm there for you. Don't worry. Yeah, at that point, you're stuck, and you, they're going to go back and tap that well again.
Yes, and in fact, if you agree to that whatever you agree to is now part of your job description forever. So you have to be very careful about agreeing to things like that. But actually, the way you handle that sort of situation is, first of all, you think, is this really that big an imposition? And if it's not, just do it. You know, it's you kind of got to balance it out. You don't want to get a big fight over anything. And then you think, okay, now if I do it, if I'm going to do it, what can I get in return? So you kind of set it up as a quid pro quo. You say, oh, yeah, I'll be happy to work these 5 weekends, but I want another 3 days off, paid vacation. You come up with a quid pro quo. And if you can't get a quid pro quo, you say no, because you don't want to have that on your table forever. You don't want to have that on your job responsibilities. And, of course, oh, you say no to your boss. People get all alarmed with that, which is why you set yourself up for career security, because you can say no to a boss if you know you have options.
New book is Business Without the, shall we just say, BS, 49 Secrets and Shortcuts You Need to Know by Jeffrey James. That's GEOFFREY, Jeffrey James. You have a website as well, right?
Actually, I write a daily column for Inc. Magazine's website, Inc.com. And the column's called Sales Source, and in it I handle a lot of sales and marketing things, but also some of the same problems or the same sort of things that I write about in the book.
So go to Inc.com and look for Jeffrey James, and stick around because we've got more with Jeffrey James in just a moment. My Money Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Jeffrey James. He is a columnist with Inc.com. That's INC.com. He's not writing about tattoos here. He's also the author of several books. The brand new one, just out, Business Without the BS. 49 Secrets and Shortcuts You Need to Know, Business Without the BS. Actually, business, and you write about this as well, business is really pretty simple. If we're getting too much of the latest management consultant stuff in there, it's probably a mistake, right?
Well, management consultants and people that sell that kind of service to companies have a vested interest in complexifying things. Because the more complicated management and conducting business seems, the more you need to hire these people to tell you how to do it. But the fact is that management and all the different pieces of business are actually fairly simple. If they weren't simple, you wouldn't have everyone doing it. So in a way, what I'm writing is sort of subversive to an entire industry of people who complexify what are actually a simple set of problems, which is, you know, how to manage a group of 13 people, which is all anyone ever manages. CEOs don't manage their entire company. They manage their direct reports, just so you know. And, you know, it's like you run into the same kind of people everywhere. Is it really that complicated to be able to say, okay, how do you handle someone who's always negative in meetings? How do you handle a boss who blows up at you? These are so common, and they're the things that really people need to know. The big, oh, best practices, Coke's branding strategy. I mean, none of that really has much meaning, really, to people in the trenches or people who are actually trying to get things done. What people who are trying to get things done need are step-by-step. Here's how you handle this situation. Here's how you handle this. Here's how you find your dream job. Here's how you ace a job interview. Here's how you get the job interview. Here's, you know, things like that. And that's what the book is full of.
How does someone become a great boss?
You know, what the real core of becoming a great boss is what you to believe about what management is. And if you believe that management is about control, controlling people, you'll be a lousy boss. If you think it's about helping other people be successful, coaching people, you'll be a pretty good boss. It's really that simple. Bosses become successful when the people who are working for them become successful. Now, there's another side to that, which people don't ask. How do you be a good employee? And the way you're a good employee is your number one rule, your number one responsibility is making your boss look good. It's a reciprocal relationship. You take care of the boss, and the boss takes care of you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what you look for, and that's what you push for while you're working with anybody in any situation, really, in the business world.
By the way, thanks for handling the follow-up question there. That was it exactly. Every now and then, something goes wrong or it just doesn't work out. You talk about courage in the market, in business. That's a big part of it as well. A lot of this stuff makes perfect common sense. You read through the book, you go, yeah, right, got it. But at the same time, it does require some courage.
Yes, and that is really the nub of it. Surveys have shown that most people value security above everything else. And when you enthrone security, you're putting your courage aside. What you have to do is have the courage to pursue your career and pursue what you want to do and to say no when it's necessary and to know when to take a risk and say yes to something. So you can approach work and life from a place of fear and a place of worry, or you can put it from a place of courage and taking reasonable risks and getting what you want out of it. And that's part of managing yourself, which, yeah, as I said, is the most important person you have to manage, is you.
Business Without the BS, 49 Secrets and Shortcuts You Need to Know. Jeffrey James, Jeffrey spelled with a G. Inc.com, I-N-C, Inc.com is the website. You can read his daily articles there, or you can go out and get the book, Business Without the BS, by Jeffrey James. A lot of fun. Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
I'm very happy to be here.